that the next video package should be Enzo Amore in the second rope. It should be, make no mistake, I injured Enzo Amore. I took him out of commission. Not anybody else. Me.
There's not just a feud between the rope and the mat.
The rope and Enzo Amore.
What you just heard was Duke talk about Enzo Amore. Welcome to PWTR, guys. And I'm Justin here, and I'm with the Million Dollar Manny and Duke. Say hi, people. You heard Duke
already. I'm surrounded by assholes. I got one asshole on the left that wants to make jokes about Enzo Amore, and another asshole on the right that doesn't know what the fuck a Michinoku driver is.
I knew what it was. I said it, even.
Asshole before the show was like, confused. Oh, yeah, I knew. Jesus, Michael Cole, I knew what a Michinoku driver was, and I don't even watch that shit. You don't watch WWE?
He was not known for WWE. I want to make that clear. But, yeah, we're live, and...
What? What did you just say?
What?
What did you just say?
What did I say?
What did you just say?
I don't know.
Did you say it's not known for WWE?
No, he isn't.
What are you talking... What else do you know you're from?
I know Funaki from WWE, but I don't know this guy.
That's your problem.
Fuck you.
Okay, fucking Michinoku Driver came from WWE. It's Taka Michinoku, dipshit.
But wasn't he in like a different company like ROH at the time?
No! It was the ROH. I know. This is like 97.
Thank you for not getting the joke, Manny.
God damn it.
Okay. Off the rails. We're not live. We're recorded. This is where it's at. Hashtag PWTR. Let us know your thoughts. We're going to start out a little different this week with the L of the week, which means the segment, a person who, you know, didn't have a very good showing, so to speak. And we're going to start with Manny.
I'm going with Justin.
Fuck off.
No, I legit forgot who I said. Who did I say? Who did I say, Justin?
I don't.
Come on now.
Who was your L?
Did I say Taka Michinoku?
No, it wasn't Taka Michinoku. Who was your L? Okay, we'll go to Duke. You think about it for a second, Manny.
My loser of the week. It has to be Mitch, right?
Mitch
has to be the loser of the week. The potted plant from the Dean Ambrose show.
Oh,
Ambrose
Mitch.
Asylum.
Not
oh,
Mitch from Spirit Squad.
Oh, wait, never mind. That doesn't fit the criteria. It has to be either a segment or a person, and that's a thing. So, my bad. I chose the wrong kind of noun. You put me in a tough spot here, Justin. Let's go with Ryback.
What did Ryback do? Because I actually don't know.
Yeah,
about
fill
this.
In the crowd of what. It's been going on with the world of Ryback.
By the way, even though we haven't even seen it yet, Civil War was a great movie, wasn't it? I have no qualms about saying Civil War was a great movie before I even saw it.
Ryback.
Thanks
Ryback.
For just derailing, you know, Duke there, Manny.
Well, exactly. It's Saturday. People have already seen it.
What a stupid motherfucker.
We're talking about Ryback and Manny.
That's the end of that.
What a stupid motherfucker. Ryback comes out and tries to take himself off of TV over his contract disputes because he thinks everybody should be paid equally.
He's a fucking dumbass.
What a piece of shit.
Here's the thing, Ryback. Would you make as much money and do as many appearances and everything else as John Cena, you can be paid as much as John Cena. When you help the company out as much as he has and create as much revenue, they will pay you as much as John Cena, I guarantee it. But they will not pay you that much to lose on pre-shows to Kalisto.
Yeah.
Kalisto.
Either way, apples or oranges.
This guy's an idiot.
He is.
Like,
he's
who
a communist.
Wants to take themselves off of TV?
Feed him
off
more.
Of that kind of a reason.
Feed me equal, is what he's saying.
Feed me equal pay.
He's a fucking communist. That's what he is.
Yeah, I really see no difference between Ryback and Hitler right now. I'm not going to lie.
Him or Stalin. You know.
Jesus same... Christ.
Basically, Ryback.
I mean, at worst, he's the fucking Ivan the Terrible.
No hair, big thighs, blonde hair, blue eyes. Close enough.
Yeah. Hey, Ivan the Terrible. Wasn't he Dracula, or was that someone else? Or no, it's
Vlad
the Impaler. Vlad
the Impaler.
Okay,
yeah.
Sorry, that's history for you kids.
Can we go back and just, like, rebrand Ryback? Can we turn him into Drago?
Ivan Drago? Fuck yeah, yes. We'll turn him into that. If he dies, he dies. If he gets paid, he gets paid.
Communism.
Communism. You know, we have to have a Rocky guy to, you know, defeat communism through a boxing match, though. That's the big
point. Oh, a Rock guy, huh?
Oh, the Rock, you should say.
You mean we need somebody to knock out Ryback? Because I have a second rope that's pretty good at that.
Jesus Christ.
On that score, I do want to give a shout out to Enzo Amore for being a fucking G, for getting, you know, waking up out of that. And, you know,
I thought he was so paralyzed when I saw that shit. That was scary as fuck.
I thought he died. We saw another Owen Hart situation. Like, oh, shit.
And we actually saw it this time, and that would have been terrible. Dude. He was up and talking and shit. Oh, somebody was like, of course Enzo Amore is talking in the hospital. That's his gimmick.
That's his gimmick.
But, leave it to the ropes to have more offensive moves than Enzo Amore, huh?
Shit.
Jesus.
We do respect the shit out of Enzo Amore, just to be that clear. We're not just making fun of the guy because we're asked. Well, we are, but, you know.
Nah, don't put that shit on me. That's Duke. Fuck that.
You've made a joke about Bret Hart having cancer, Manny.
I did not make a joke
about
Bret Hart having fucking cancer.
I will say, Bret Hart has had now been two pain in the asses, so.
No.
There's Duke. That's not me.
The thoughts of Duke are not.
I don't fucking joke about cancer.
I will look back at the tape. You made a joke.
You go ahead and look back at the tape. Just look.
We'll have to answer this dispute next week for the PWTR fans. But to go back to Ryback real quick. For what it's worth, if this means he's released, do we give a fuck? No.
Not really.
He had potential.
Did you answer that question for me? Because I give a fuck. He's a top five mic worker.
He could go straight to TNA.
He's a top five mic worker.
He could go straight to TNA.
To be fair, Duke, you did want him to win the Royal Rumble 1 year to face Brock Lesnar. To be fair to David.
I did want him to win the Royal Rumble to face Brock Lesnar. That's before he went to shit. Because that match would have been awesome.
I still hold tight to the Daniel Bryan plot. But whatever.
I think that silent pause speaks for itself.
Yeah.
I thought that match would have been a lot of fun.
But yeah.
So anyway.
To the Ryback. Let me capstone this real quick. To the Ryback.
Hurry up, goddammit.
Fuck off.
I'm tired of talking about Ryback.
To the Ryback. Fuck off. Okay, Manny, you can go now. Who's your L of the week?
My L of the week that I suddenly and not ominously remembered was Baron Corbin. Why, you say? Because he lost the fucking match to Dolph Ziggler in a silly-ass way with the roll-up where they're playing up this thing where he made a rookie mistake, and he was also eliminated pretty early on in that shitty-ass United States.
What was that?
Yeah, that battle royal. That piece of shit. Oh, my God. Like, he's put in a situation right now where he's, like, beating the shit out of Dolph Ziggler and not reaping the benefits of it. And it's so annoying as a Baron Corbin fan to sit back and watch that shit. Not that I'm the biggest Baron Corbin fan. It's just, like, I would like to see him succeed because he is putting in legitimate work. And he's entertaining me every time I see him. I just want him to fucking win. Be done with Dolph Ziggler. Beat the shit out of him. Drop the fucking end of days or whatever the shit and move on to the next great thing that you're going to do.
All right, Duke, are you a Baron Corbin fan, Duke?
Anybody who has seen Breaking Ground should be a Baron Corbin fan because this dude is a fucking badass.
Okay, so
yes.
I like Baron Corbin
the person more than I like Baron Corbin the performer.
The person is starting to bleed into the performer, too.
Yeah, like, Baron Corbin gives no fucks about anything, and he is the weirdest, strangest, most badass dude in the world who gives no fucks about mingling with his peers or anything like that, and it is the coolest dynamic. Like, Baron Corbin is a fucking baller.
Okay, for me, I like to think I'm the biggest Baron Corbin fan, but it might be Duke, so I'm not going to go into that, but as a Baron Corbin fan, seeing him lose to Dolph Ziggler is very annoying, and I think back to the WrestleMania review I did with Jay for PWF Empire Live. That's on his channel. You can look that up. I said when Baron Corbin won the Battle Royale, like, there's a counter at the bottom of the screen saying countdown to when they fuck up Baron Corbin. It reached critical mass at Payback when he lost to Dolph Ziggler. And I think considering Tyler Breeze and what happened with him and Ziggler, and then you look at Baron Corbin, Ziggler needs to stay the fuck away from NXT talent because he's a cancer to them. And that's a problem. And Dolph Ziggler just needs to get fucking released. Fuck that asshole. But anyway.
Jesus Christ.
I hate Justin Dolph Ziggler so much. His fucking purple streaks in the hair. He's like, What a pussy. That's what he
I don't understand why. See, I can understand the initial loss to Dolph Ziggler, because that's like your first match. You might have jitters or whatever, despite how badass you actually are.
And Dolph Ziggler's a fucking loser. You don't lose to a loser.
He keeps losing to Dolph Ziggler, and that is frankly annoying as shit.
It better end with him fucking, you know, breaking his fucking face open or something, breaking his neck or some shit, so...
Having sex with his wife on live TV.
Making him watch.
Kicking his dog.
Throwing him into the second rope and knocking his ass
out. Jesus Christ. okay, so anything
hitting him with the Baron Corbin situation? Hitting him with the ROH special Michinoku driver.
Do you have anything to say about Baron Corbin's treatment as of late, or are you going to move on?
I'll just wait for it to play out, see what we get here.
All right. the steady watcher. I get it. Anyway, my loser of the week is Charlotte, and mostly the women's division. But Charlotte, because she sucks. I don't think that's a debate anymore.
It's a debate.
Let me break it down for you. This is mostly about payback. That finish was bullshit, by the way. But before I get to
the finish was bullshit.
I want to say right now, no one gives a fuck about Natalya. Am I correct, Manny? You don't give a fuck about Natalya?
True.
Duke, do you give a fuck about Natalya?
Duke loves Natalya.
No, I do not.
He calls her a bitch.
I think Natalya is a bitch. I've seen not all of Total Divas, but I've seen enough of Total Divas to know that Natalya is a class A bitch. And I'm only using the word bitch because I've been told that using other words might get you called sexist. But she is not nice. Let me just put it one way. That being said, I am excited for the submissions match because they're both good and at what they do, especially when they do it together.
Of us not liking Natalya, though, when someone we don't give a fuck about like outshines your champion, there's a problem. Because by the midpoint of that Natalya match, I wanted her to win so bad because she is obviously so much better than Charlotte, and I just. The only thing, good thing about Charlotte, she has a couple of nice moves, and her father's Ric Flair. That is fucking it with her. There's nothing else to her. And I'm just done with Charlotte as champion. Like, if Natalya won the belt, cool. We're doing something else. Because Charlotte's not the most negative wrestling fan
I've ever met.
It really is weird when Bret Hart's out there, and he's only the second biggest pain in the ass.
Jesus Christ.
I'll use that joke again. It's really funny. You can laugh for a while. Okay, let's move on.
I have no comment.
All right, and at this point, yeah, I just think Charlotte's just a failure. Almost as big of a failure as Roman Reigns, but we'll get to that in a second. Which is a nice segue, actually.
See, that's that biased-ass shit, but go ahead.
All right, we're segueing into the first actual event of the show we're going to discuss, is the progression of Roman Reigns and AJ Styles. At Payback, there's some bullshit, some fuckery going around. And we're getting an Extreme Rules match at Extreme Rules in 3 weeks. And the build-up happened on Raw with the Usos teaming up with their cousin Roman Reigns. Because they're cousins, and facing Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows, who are bulletproof, or just Anderson and Gallows, I don't know, with AJ Styles, that's a conflict coming to a head. What were you guys' thoughts on their interaction on Raw? We'll start with Manny.
Roman Reigns has fucking arrived, Justin.
You can fuck off any time now.
He is so ready.
When he's over.
He is not allowing the crowd to affect him whatsoever anymore. And it is the most beautiful thing because we are getting the Roman Reigns that we deserve now. The Roman Reigns that doesn't give a shit about anything, that is going in there to dominate his opponent and beat the shit out of them and protect his family and rage up and beat the shit out of AJ Styles. He's great. He's great, Justin. Wouldn't you agree, dude? Roman Reigns is doing great work right now.
He is very good right now. I will definitely give him that one. I think Roman Reigns is a lot of fun to watch now.
And like I said, it's like you could bring up the fact that he's supposed to be the top babyface or whatever. I really don't give a shit about that because I think they should turn him heel, especially with the demeanor that with which he's carrying himself right now. Because everything that he does, all of his mannerisms, all of the subtleties and his movements and everything, they all scream "fuck you" to the crowd. It's one big middle finger to everything that the crowd wants him to be and everything that they say about him. He's like carries his swag. He doesn't give a shit about anything. He's so nonchalant and cocky about the way that he gets up and no sells and everything like that. It's great to watch. Go ahead, Justin.
Here's the thing. That'd be fine if he was a heel and not the top babyface in the company with John Cena booking. No, it does not work that way.
It works perfectly.
If he was a fucking heel, I'd be all for Roman Reigns. But no, he's they're pushing him as this unbeatable, like, good John Cena guy who's like a Superman who takes four, five phenomenal forearms.
Wait. He's not a good guy. He's not a bad guy. He's the guy.
Okay, just because you say that one line doesn't make it fucking so, okay? It's the booking.
Okay, and just because you want there to be a heel face dynamic in every single thing that goes on doesn't mean that's the way it's going to be.
Am I wrong for wanting a pro wrestling fucking dynamic? I'm sorry. That's what I want.
They've already said that they're going away from heels and faces, and I don't see what you don't understand.
Sami Zayn on the card, then.
What?
Why is there a Kevin Owens and a Sami Zayn?
Kevin Owens isn't even trying all that hard to be a bad guy.
No, Kevin Owens is a fucking heel.
Like, people like Kevin Owens. He doesn't care.
No, he's a heel.
See, you. Kevin Owens is a character. Kevin Owens is the character. They are their character.
Yeah, which is a heel.
They are their character. Roman Reigns' character is not a heel or a face.
See, Roman Reigns is
more if you book him as a badass. Oh, I think that WWE is starting to see, hey, this guy isn't going to get over as a face, but there's a lot of people that still like him, like women and children and people like that, but our hardcore audience and a lot of our male fans don't like this guy. So if we book him in the middle and we just kind of leave him here, it allows people to boo him who want to boo him, and allows people to cheer him who want to cheer him, and now we have this dynamic where we can have someone like AJ Styles wrestle him, and it doesn't feel awkward. It doesn't feel like we're trying to say, oh, this is two faces wrestling, when we're still trying to peddle the Roman Reigns merchandise. Roman Reigns could still be Roman Reigns without having to turn by just being who he is being on TV right now, which is the way they should have booked him in to begin with.
No, I'm not buying
And that's the thing. And that's the thing. See, WWE has given up, and they should be, giving up on this whole old-timey heel-face dynamic, because what that signifies is the company wanting to choose who the crowd is going to root for and who they're going to be against, and that doesn't work in this social media age. People are going to root for who the fuck they want to root for, evidenced by CM Punk going out there and pouring Paul Bearer's figurative fucking ashes on him and still getting cheered. And you get a guy like Roman Reigns who goes out there and he was doing all the right things and trying to be the stand-up guy, and he still gets booed for it. That's just the way it's going to be. So what they're going to do is create characters and allow the fans to choose who they're going to root for and who they're going to boo. That's part of what makes Miz so great, too, by the way, on a side point. But Roman Reigns is doing excellent work, because in the role that he's in right now, where the fans are continually booing him everywhere that he goes, he does not give a shit, and he is just going about his business and handling things.
And by booking him this way, now Roman Reigns, when you see him smoke AJ Styles with a chair, that doesn't mean he's turning heel. That doesn't mean anything's bad here. That means Roman Reigns is doing what Roman Reigns' character would do when put in that situation, and there has to be no turn for it, because that's something you would believe Roman Reigns would do 100 times out of 100.
All right.
You give him a set of values. Family is one of them. He sees his family get assaulted by a chair, not seeing the previous stuff, and then goes, you know what? I'm going to beat his ass with a chair.
And that's consistent
with the Roman Reigns character.
That's character development.
Okay.
That's layers.
Here's where I'm.
That's traits.
All right, Manny. We've had this discussion before. I think Duke was around, too. But, you know, I'm not big on the Stone Cold Steve Austin character. I'm tying this back together. You know why, right?
Why is that? I don't remember.
Because he's a fucking asshole. That's my problem with him as a top base.
And it was great.
Because you're a top face of the company, I do not want you to be an asshole. I want you to be like John Cena, like a Hulk Hogan. I want a Sami Zayn or a Daniel Bryan to be that position, because that's what a babyface. I'm a purist when it comes to babyface and heel. And there could be an anti-hero here and there, but I don't want a Stone Cold Steve Austin where I could see the plight of Vince McMahon, where this guy's a fucking asshole and you don't want him to be champion. I'm siding with The Rock, and that's a problem. I think that's a problem with storytelling when it comes to wrestling.
But, I mean, I that type of thinking is what put the company in trouble in the first place.
Did
when
it?
They were trying to push Shawn Michaels as this, like,
well,
baby face.
There's nothing wrong with Shawn Michaels.
Character.
Diesel was the problem.
Okay, they were trying to push Diesel as this top face or whatever.
No,
and
Diesel was
it
a lot
work.
More like Roman Reigns than we will fucking remember, okay?
Because
Diesel had
the
that
whole
streak
reason,
too.
Okay, but the whole reason that we had this whole
Roman
attitude
Reigns
era
is an
push
athletic
was because
freak.
Of that thing.
Yeah, he's athletic.
Yeah,
I'm not talking about what they can do in the ring. I'm talking about character. They're more similar than they are different, I think. Diesel and fucking Roman Reigns.
Yeah, I would disagree with you.
You didn't watch any Diesel, so you don't know, Duke. Manny, what do you have thoughts on that?
Well, what makes you think I watched any Diesel? He's a piece of shit.
I'm the only one who watched Diesel, so I can make the connection that they're more alike than they are similar. And yet, why is Vince pushing
and I don't
another
believe
Diesel
you.
When Diesel
they are
was
more
a
alike than they are similar?
Fuck. They're more alike than they are different, I should say. Rephrase
your
that.
Argument is invalid. All right, move on.
My argument's not invalid, you fuck.
Yes, it is. They are more alike than they are similar. All right, let's cool. move on. Hey, Manny, what's up next?
That was a Birdman quote. Is they alike or is they similar?
No, okay, for real though. Him and Diesel are one and the same, and so is
you're
Luger.
Still talking? You're
yes,
still talking?
I am. Yes, I am.
You're still talking.
Yes, I am.
You're still talking. Done. All right, done.
Duke, all right, Duke got cut from the call. Okay, so.
No.
Yeah, that's my fucking moderation. He's not going to pull that shit. So.
Oh.
Total absolute power.
Just did that.
He'll be back.
You're drunk power. You're Mr. McMahon. And now dude's gonna come back on some Stone Cold shit and beat your ass.
He's gonna spray me with beer. It's not a big deal. But yeah, you see where I'm coming from with the Diesel thing, right? I mean, I guess you didn't watch Diesel, but... What, man? Explain. You can't just say no and not follow it up.
I don't see that. Because I mean, Roman Reigns is still young in what he's doing. Diesel at that point was like established as whatever the fuck he was. I don't fucking know. I don't see the parallels between the two though.
I'll because see some of Luger Kevin in Nash, too.
The Kevin Nash that I know, no, I don't see Luger at all.
All right, anything, I'll take Luger away. I'll take Luger away. But Diesel will stand true with that.
But see, Diesel was just boring.
So is Roman Reigns.
Roman Reigns is not boring.
He's boring.
You can say he's a lot of things, but boring is not one of them.
I can say he's boring. When he talks on
the
mic.
You can say he's predictable. You can say he's athletic as fuck. You can say a lot of things about him, but you can't sit here and say he's boring.
I will sit here and say he's boring because he is boring. But besides that, I think there's so many similarities that you can't like ignore. So it is what it is with Samoan Diesel. So that's where I'm at with Roman Reigns. I want him to be more like a babyface.
See, but that you got to cut this face and heel shit. Seriously.
No, I won't because that's the fundamental reason of wrestling.
You understand that if we continue forward with the whole face versus heel thing in the Attitude Era, like the whole reason that we had it in the Attitude Era.
And you know I'm not a fan of the Attitude Era.
Okay, are you going to deny that the Attitude Era saved wrestling?
Yeah, but I'm not saying Roman Reigns is going to be the guy who saves wrestling either.
I'm not saying that either. I'm just saying
what's your
that
point?
My point is that that's what put WWE in trouble in the first fucking place. And if they continue forward with that thinking now in 2016, where people are wise up to the wrestling industry and know what the fuck is going on, then they're going to start to lose fans because right, it's just the same old shit.
Let me ask you this then, Manny. Let's take Roman Reigns out of the position and put Daniel Bryan there. And like take Daniel Bryan's injuries out of it. Is there a
Daniel
problem?
Daniel Bryan is a fan favorite.
And what's wrong with that?
Nothing's wrong
being
with that. I didn't say
the company
was
being
wrong
Daniel
with that.
Bryan. What's wrong with this?
I didn't say you don't have to have a top face of the company. You have a top guy in the company.
Oh, that's
and
never
Daniel
been,
Bryan
that's
isn't a guy
never
that can
been
carry
a philosophy it. Until this point.
You're damn right. Yes, you're
it's
right.
It's not a philosophy
we need
I subscribe
an innovative to. Thinking, Justin.
It's not a philosophy I subscribe to.
Then you are going to get left behind in the dust with everybody else that fails to adapt.
So
that fails to
adapt
evolve.
Or perish, as Triple H would say.
Exactly.
But my saying is, if you're going to have a top face of the company, it needs to be Daniel Bryan or someone like Sami Zayn, who's a good baby face, like John Cena even. John Cena's a little flaky at points, but mostly, I mean, Cena did choke Rusev into a title match one time, but just a pure good guy, and then there being like the dastardly heel as Kevin Owens. Like, that dynamic
okay,
still
yeah,
works.
Okay, yeah, you have your pure good guy in Sami Zayn, who fans like to cheer on, and who is legitimately a good guy. In
and
it.
Over.
That doesn't mean that he's not going to be surrounded with people who are just people, who aren't necessarily bad guys. That's why Kevin Owens is getting cheered so much, because people like him. And the way that he goes about his business. Like, you could try to put him in this box of being a heel, but he's not. He's a fan favorite.
He's a heel.
You got to look at people that the fans like and people that the fans don't like.
I read Kevin Owens' Twitter. Thrones, he's a heel, okay?
If you watch Game of Thrones, right?
Yeah.
If you were... You don't watch it, though, do you?
I've caught up, but I've watched it before. I get the parallel you're going to make.
Well, I'm saying, like, there are people that you like and there are people that you don't like. And it's not necessarily a product of them being a good guy or the bad guy. Sometimes these characters do some dastardly things. And sometimes, especially with the Lannister family, you start to have sympathy for some of them later on because of the things that happen to them. It's just a product of how you feel and how you relate to those characters. That's how WWE needs to look at this, because like I said, fans are wise up to how the wrestling industry has operated for the past forever with the whole face heel dynamic, where they choose, they handpick these guys. That's why Roman Reigns is so resented right now, because they feel like the company has handpicked Roman Reigns to be the top face, where the fans are sitting here like, we didn't fucking want this guy. So that's how this works. And well, in allow that me to setting, retort real quick. With that reality being what it is right now, Roman Reigns has evolved into a character that has done an excellent job in playing that role.
Allow me to retort. This is a wrestling show, not Game of Thrones, which is a TV show.
Do they not call Raw the longest running episodic television show?
I don't subscribe to that bullshit Vince wants to push. It's a wrestling show, and it's
So this you won't subscribe to Vince wanting to push, but everything else is okay.
Hell yeah! No, here's the thing. I'm all for it being called sports entertainment, but at the same time, it's different from TV. I do believe that at the end of the day, because there has to be a good guy and there has to be a bad guy to have that ideological shift between the two. I hate this in the middle shit they've done with Stone Cold. But they've done with Roman Reigns now. I'm not into it. Pick one or the other, because I don't like.
But everybody else loves it. I think that's just you then.
That's the case, but you see where I'm coming from, where I would want to see that.
I mean, if you're trying to be this wrestling purist and abide by every strict law of wrestling, then yeah. But wrestling, like you said, it's not just a regular television show. It's probably the most unique form of entertainment that we have. Doesn't fit into any one singular category. And because of that, because they're the only product that puts on something like that, they can't be old-timey and stale and shit, or else they risk perishing altogether. They have to have innovative thinkers and innovative thinking who can put perspectives outside the box and come at it from a different angle, because they have to. There's no like manuscript on how this shit goes, how this shit is supposed to. I mean, there's a manuscript, but if they continue to follow it strictly the way it is, while fans are already smarting up to it, then it's not going to work, and wrestling is going to die.
Well, I see where you're coming from, but I don't want this to be lost to anyone that I don't hate Roman Reigns. I think he's very talented in the ring-wise. I just don't
hate Stone Cold.
I don't hate Stone Cold. I don't like his character. I think he's very talented in the ring. I'll give him that. But I'm not going to get into Stone Cold. This is about Roman Reigns. Anyway, the thing is, I wish... When I look at Roman Reigns, I just see a man being pushed into a spot that was not made for him. It's not for him. He's not meant to be the guy, as you say, he says.
Either. I think that fans have determined that that's the spot that he belongs in.
Have they? Because they don't want to see him there.
Yeah.
So you're okay with Vince saying, you don't like this guy. Well, here he is anyway. I'm going to keep him there anyway just to fuck with you guys. That's not good business.
With the way that he's done it, yes.
Yeah, I like Roman Reigns, so I don't care.
But you're in the minority.
With the way that he's gone about evolving the character,
every time.
Really? Is that true?
Have you seen 300?
Because then this debate will be over. Because you're in the minority about your face and heel thinking.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you are.
No, I'm not. But Duke, what were you saying? Oh, 300 was a good reference, by the way. But yeah, I just think at the end of the day, Roman Reigns is not overly over where you want him to be. So, sorry, he's not the guy. Go with someone else.
I don't believe that.
Admit defeat, enjoy your humble sandwich, and move on.
It's been great.
No, it hasn't.
Roman, you're doing a great job.
Why is he getting booed out of the building when he's supposed to be the top guy? I don't get that. Same with Cena.
He doesn't need to be the
top face. Cena was never this badly booed, ever.
Yes, he was.
Cena had never had this Reigns treatment. He always got a wild Let's Go Cena chance. At Payback, I heard, Let's Go Roman. Then, but Roman sucks. Roman's cheers are very, very...
ECW One Night Stand.
Okay, one. There's a few, in, like Chicago...
there you go. I proved my point. I shouldn't generalize like that.
But at the same time, Cena was never always had that split. It was very, very split. You could tell the split. There were some exceptions to the rule. But Roman, it's clearly all the time, Let's Go Roman. Roman sucks. Like, you hear the Roman sucks. And more thunderous. Like, not many people are on the Roman bandwagon. Sorry, you're in the minority.
Are you basing this off a Chicago crowd that would boo Cena out of the building, too?
No, it's basically every crowd. I never hear a loud Let's Go Roman chant, ever. Even at WrestleMania, it was all Roman sucks really loud. So.
Oh, you mean at one of the places where most hardcore fans are the majority of the population at that event?
So is that a problem then?
Because parents aren't going to pay $600 to let their kids sit in the balcony of WrestleMania.
So are we just going to ignore them then? Do we just ignore them entirely?
No, and say, fuck you, we're doing this anyway? They don't make up the entirety of what the WWE universe is supposed to be.
Well, they're in the minority. If you like Roman Reigns, you're in the minority.
And even still, it doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah, it does.
It does not.
Daniel Bryan's overly over. He should have been the guy. Sami Zayn's overly over. He should be the guy.
Roman Reigns is selling the second most t-shirts now.
Is he?
They're going to push the guy.
And he's going to go out there and do what the fuck he wants, and it's going to be great. I want to see
those record sales then. Send me a link, Duke.
All
right. He's not buying that. He's the second most purchased. Because there's some fuckery going on if that's the case. Because there's not.
All right. How long have we been recording?
For 30 minutes.
All right, let's move on to the next thing.
This is a good debate.
And it's over, and we won. Now, let's go.
You didn't win shit. Hashtag PWTR, Dustin wins all the time. Hashtag Sheamus belongs, because I need to bring that shit back.
Sheamus belongs.
All right. What was next? Oh, yeah. Shane and Stephanie are in the 50-50 split booking where they both run Raw. The most predictable way the storyline could have went. What are our thoughts so far? The cutthroat, let's one-up each other bullshit we've seen from Eric Bischoff and Stone Cold way back when. Vince and the corporation way back when. This is a retread. It's just new McMahon. Well, kind of same McMahons. Whatever. And where's Triple H? Put him on a milk carton. Where is this man? But, all right. Manny, you take it away.
Well, first, I want you to gloat because you were the first person to call it when we did our...
I apologize, by the way. Third highest seller.
Who's number one and two?
Cena Ambrose, apparently.
Ambrose? Why is he really? The top guy in the company right now?
The only reason I don't own an Ambrose shirt is because none of them look good, but...
I like the unstable white one. I have that one.
Oh. Ambrose, okay.
Yeah, Ambrose should be the top guy in the company by that point, then.
I mean, you're not going to get a top guy besides John Cena, but you mean in his absence?
Yeah, but Cena's not the top... He's like... He doesn't give a fuck anymore, so it's like... Someone else.
He's injured. How does he not
You can kind of tell Cena's not all into it anymore. He's kind of looking towards the future now, what he wants to do in life.
He's continually tweeting about how he'll be back.
Back as soon as I get off the pot, and then I'll get back out. I'll hop back in the ring. I don't think he gives a fuck. Randy Orton's gone when it comes to wrestling, but yeah. I think if we're looking towards the future, which WWE is trying to do a new generation or whatever, new era, Ambrose should be that with that line of thinking.
Okay.
All right. We're talking about Shane and them or whatever, the prediction, whatever. So what are your thoughts on the Shane-Stephanie coalition?
It was...
Who the fuck gives a shit?
When you said it, it was like the most like WWE thing ever. So we just assumed that it was going to happen. And it did. So I like... The one thing I'll say positive about it, because, I mean, it has brought a whole different feel to what Raw was. This past episode of Raw was one of the best ones that I've seen in quite some time.
I feel like you say that almost every week, or you say it's the worst.
I don't. Fucking Raw is dreadful to get through most weeks. It's awful. It's an awful show most of the time. But this past one was pretty good. One of the reasons why is because I think they're slow playing this. Initially, when Vince brought this idea forth, he talked about how he wanted those two to tear each other apart and everything. And right now, it seems like they're getting along pretty well, and Stephanie is changing and everything. That's part of what made what Dean Ambrose did when he was like, I'm not buying it. I don't believe you. Where's the yelling Stephanie McMahon and all that shit? I mean, they're entertaining because you know that's going to be coming at some point. But I'm along for the ride, and I'm enjoying it so far. I don't really have any problems with it.
Duke, you're going to stick with you don't give a shit and move on to me, or you got something on it?
Well, I mean, like, this isn't going to last, right? Like,
it can't.
No, it's not going to last.
It's not going to last too long.
And we know the outcome is going to be Stephanie. We're going to appreciate
Shane while we can, but when it comes down to it, he's not the one with the, he's not the heir to the throne, so, I mean.
I mean, well, the heir to the throne isn't on TV right now.
Triple H isn't the heir to the throne, Manny. I'm sorry to tell you this.
He's definitely.
Triple H is dead. You guys need to accept it.
So you're saying when I saw him walk backstage?
He ain't pushing daisies. He did.
He took a Michinoku driver to the second rope.
Fuck off. All right. All right, my thoughts on it.
I will say, I'm sorry, before you go.
Go ahead, Manny, go ahead.
I will say that in that main event of Payback, they did a great job of playing the two off of each other in the way that they reset the matches. I mean, you can say what you want about them having to reset the matches in the first place, but to have Shane come out there and say it's going to be a no count out match, and then Stephanie come out and be like, as usual, my brother forgot something, so we're going to make it a no DQ match. I thought that was a great use of the dynamic between the two.
My whole thing is I don't buy into the characterization of Vince McMahon into this. Going back to characters, I'm not buying it.
I haven't bought into Vince McMahon in some time.
Yeah, because he's all for Stephanie telling the crowd to shut up when they start booing her. You're like, Chicago's full of animals. And it's like, okay. Well, but then he's like, I'm willing to hear Shane out, though. Why? If you're so gung-ho on Stephanie, why are you even like enlightening Shane? Just so it's only there so the story can happen that's not going to last, as Duke said. It's a temporary thing. Shane's only here for the short term because he does have stuff outside the company. Like, that would be easy. He's just, I don't know why he's still here. WrestleMania was enough. He could have went home. It's cool. He did the spot. Cool. He sold WrestleMania. Cool. Done. But we're moving on with it, and I don't get the characterization.
The main problem is they need to do a better job of compartmentalizing the different facets of what Vince McMahon is, like taking that evil side and clearly defining that while separating that from his business side and his business acumen. I think that's what they're going for, like his evil, like his dastardly side that agrees with the way that Stephanie is doing things, you know, is rooting for Stephanie, but his business side that sees the reaction that that fans are giving Shane McMahon and everything.
But he said he doesn't give a fuck about the fans. That's his character.
That is true. But do we really believe that? Do
part
we
of me
really
does.
Believe that?
I could see Vince being that the character. Part of me thinks the man.
He can say, I don't give a fuck about the fans, but I give a fuck about the fans' money.
Okay, there we go. I can.
And I think if they clearly defined it that way, it would have been a lot easier for you to have accepted the way that they're going about things.
And I'm still not cool with the fact that Taker's just like, you know what? I wrestled a match for no goddamn reason now. So it's like, whatever.
Dude. Taker is somewhere getting his toes sucked by Michelle McCool.
Shout out to my Twitter account. Well, that was a weird thing
that's,
I had
that's
to
my
do
gimmick,
something.
Stealing tweets.
What?
My gimmick is stealing people's tweets.
I don't know what the fuck it was about me and toe sucking on Sunday, but I was all for it.
Like, I have no idea why.
Like, Brock was getting his toe sucked by Sable, and it was like, weird shit. But yeah, we'll see where it goes, but I don't know. It is what it is. So I kind of touched upon this with the Divas when I picked Charlotte. We're segueing into anything. Unless you guys you don't have anything else to say. I'm just going to assume. And
fuck them.
Okay, there was a big shitty ending to the Payback Divas match. And we think it's pretty laughable that this is a new era where you're going to show this is the new Divas division. It's like kind of being more of a whimper than a shout. And I want your guys' thoughts on the Divas division so far. I mean, I like Emma and what Becky Lynch are doing. But besides that, I'm not into Charlotte. I don't really care about Natalya. So, yeah, that's where I'm at. You guys.
I mean, the problem is the Divas that you really want to see aren't at the forefront of what's going on. That's the big thing. They had their match at WrestleMania, and then it just kind of petered out from there.
Yeah, they're just like, well, we'll push it off till SummerSlam. There's a lot of fucking time until SummerSlam, let me tell you. Let me tell you.
Were you about to say Asuka just now?
No, I said, let me tell you, there's a lot of time between now and SummerSlam.
It sounded like Justin was about to say Asuka.
I want Asuka on the main roster.
You don't want her on the main roster?
I don't, and I do. It's the weird thing with NXT where you want them, but you don't.
Because you're scared for them?
But here's my thing. I want Asuka to come up there, kick Dolph Ziggler's fucking head off, and then we'll go to Charlotte next.
I just want Sasha Banks to have a feud. Is that too much to ask for?
Yeah, it doesn't even have to be on pay-per-views.
I just want her to have a feud.
Is she injured?
No, maybe.
I heard she might be, but I haven't heard anything about it since then. It's just like, what is she doing? I just want her on TV twice.
Did she slap Stephanie's tits and then Vince is like, you're not getting a push anymore? Because it's really kind of fishy that she didn't win the title at WrestleMania when it was built for her to win it. And now they're doing nothing with the person they built up for WrestleMania. It's like, well, you're doing more with Becky Lynch, who was just there to take a pin. So it's like, I think
they're trying to hold her back for a little bit so that it simmer? Once we get her again, we jump on it, but I mean, I just like
that's risky because there's gonna be more people stop giving a fuck too.
Yeah, at what point do I stop giving a fuck?
Like with Neville's, like Neville had a cool title match with Seth Rollins. Next week, he's losing to Mark Henry. It's like, when do I stop giving a fuck about Neville? Right now. It's the same thing with Sasha Banks. So.
Same thing with fucking Becky Lynch too.
Becky Lynch is doing things though.
Yeah, but see, she went from chasing the world title and trying to get revenge on Charlotte Flair and that whole thing to just giving up on that and going into this feud with Emma, which would be a good thing
which
for
Emma
me.
Which Emma popped off, though, to be fair. I'll be fair, Emma popped this off, though. I don't remember how.
But Emma popped this off, and this became like a Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn situation where Kevin Owens was distracted from the IC title and had to handle business, personal business, with Sami Zayn. That's kind of what this dynamic is supposed to be. But for me, the problem is it's playing out too much on like social media and stuff like that. And I'm not seeing enough of the vitriol and stuff for me to get invested on TV. I think that'd be a great TV feud for a while before it can even transition into a pay-per-view feud if they continue that. Like they play off of the, and I keep forgetting that Emma is actually Australian, but the Australian and British.
Irish, you mean?
Or Irish, I'm sorry, the Australian and Irish clash between the two. That I think that that could be a legit rivalry for a little bit of time, but they need to do a better job of playing that vitriol and that hatred, not hatred, but that animosity with each other on TV so I could get invested in that shit on TV.
But at the same time, a division is only as strong as its champion, and Charlotte's not, you know, working.
Charlotte is working for me.
Manny, what do you say?
Charlotte is working for me. I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't think
I'm gonna throw you in the. I'm gonna throw you in the minority on this one. I'm tired of Charlotte as well.
I mean, she's working fine as a heel champion. It's time for somebody to knock her off. That's the problem.
Is it because she just won the big new belt at WrestleMania, and we have to like end that quickly? That's why they
but
shouldn't
the problem
have put it
is,
on her.
Like, the problem is every single thing that she does now revolves around Ric Flair, and that's the annoying part. I think Charlotte has legit talent on her own to stand on her own two
feet.
Does she?
Because she is boring as fuck.
See, but as long as Ric Flair is there, though, she's not going to be able to grow into that role.
But Ric Flair gives her personality.
My problem is she has no personality outside of Ric Flair.
Yeah, boom.
We don't know that.
Yeah, we saw her without him.
It's like Ric Flair is holding her back because Ric Flair is Charlotte now. Like,
yeah, so you say the character right now.
Yeah, I'm saying the character has nothing outside of Ric Flair, and she very well could have something. And honestly, she had more of a character in NXT, and now they're just like, okay, well, we got Rick, so let's do this Rick thing.
What was her character in NXT, Duke? I'm curious.
She was supposed to be that person who was naturally going to be better than you, and you can still do that. And like, I understand that like having her father there like is supposed to like further that dynamic, but it's done the wrong thing where now her father is telling the story instead of her, and it's more about Rick than it is about Charlotte. And my problem with that is, if you want me to get invested in Charlotte, quit giving me so much Rick.
That's the thing. See, they think that they're adding this character dynamic or this enhancement to the Charlotte character by having Rick there as like a reminder of the Flair dynasty or whatever the fuck, but it's really, really hurting Charlotte. It's not allowing her to grow as a superstar, as a mic worker, as a talent, because she's having to rely so much on Ric Flair to, like Duke said, tell the story for her instead of her doing it herself. And she can't develop that way. That's not how this works. But I think that Charlotte, the person, has a ton of talent. I think that she could grow into being a very interesting and compelling character if they do her right. They just need to put her in positions that she's
They'll start calling you careful. What positions do you want to put her in?
You misogynistic piece of shit.
Yeah. What positions do you want to put her in, Manny?
A gangbang? Is that what you want with her, Manny?
Where she is able to develop properly.
Oh, that's even sexual too, Manny. You can't say shit like that. You fucking sexist pig.
What more does she have to develop? I mean.
Oh my god.
There's a joke I should make, but I'm not going to.
All right, anything else?
We fill out the line. See, we have nothing else to say on that, but we have our winners of the week to close out our show. Duke, you want to start us out this time, or you want to go to
Actually, Manny? I wanted to go ahead and, before we close out the show, is it all right if I read something?
Go ahead.
All right, before we get to this Winners of the Week, I want to read a post by the Ryback.
Oh, fuck.
I'll read a little section here.
Oh, fuck.
I was told to head home to agree until we agree or not agree on specific terms, and contrary to reports, it isn't over money or a bus. That stuff was settled a while ago. It comes down to a major problem that I have with not only WWE, but wrestling in general. Wrestling is predetermined. We as performers know before we go out to that ring or perform a backstage scene who is winning and losing, etc., or have a general idea of what we are going to say. It blows my mind how in a sport which is predetermined from a company standpoint, winners are paid so much more than the losers. Every single person who works for WWE from top to bottom is absolutely just as valuable as the next. The winners cannot win unless the losers go out there and agree to lose to them.
He did not say that.
He's a fucking idiot.
It blows my mind that in this day and age, though we still adhere to this formula. Obviously, things have always been this way, but does that make them right? Times have changed, and our goal as humans should be to evolve and learn from our past and the past of others so we can make this world a better place. Why is it a guy who is told he is going to go out and lose and does everything he is told be paid not only less, but much less than said winner over a period of time?
Because, oh my god.
Every single performer for WWE sacrifices the same amount of time from home and their families, and every single man or woman goes out and does what they are told. Looking at this formula, though, losers turn into what fans like to call jobbers, and their value decreases in the company's eyes, and before you know it, they get released. For what? For doing exactly as they are told.
Do you think you became a jobber because the fucking company told you you're going to be a jobber?
Easy, easy, easy. We're not to the best part yet.
We're build. It's a build-up, Manny.
Why not pay the talent equally? The winners have more merch as it is, or supposed to anyway, so they could get that extra perk. But why make the guy who is told to and agrees to lose earn less and sacrifice spots in big pay-per-view matches, etc.? This is one of the major problems with wrestling in WWE today. Most guys take great satisfaction in helping make other talent. The bitching and the moaning we always hear about stems from the fact that they know they are ultimately over time going to make less and live in fear of being released. I'm proud to say I've never gone to change a finish and have gladly took pride in helping put over other talent. Hell, look at my pay-per-view record of 12-26, and you'll see that has been the pattern of my career. I've always been confident in my ability and work ethic to being my best every day, and ultimately always felt that by doing good, it was the best thing to do. Personally, seeing my money go down over the years, though, even though I was working as much as ever and being denied magazine covers and other projects as well as watching my role diminish, no matter what I did or how hard I tried, takes a toll on a human. Fuck, use a comma. Being told no matter how hard I work or how good I get doesn't always pay off is something I fucking refuse to ever believe in my life. I am a creative being, and to be restricted time and time again is no way to live life. There's nothing I cannot do, and I know no matter what comes of this situation, I'm going to be just fine. It isn't solely about money, it's about commitment. Commitment to a guy who fucking cares and loves us more than anything in the world and wants to know that his passion and his efforts and his determination to constantly improve is going to be recognized and taken care of. WWE may well release me, which, if it is the case, so be it. If we can work things out, a lot needs to change, as I am not living in fear and creatively cannot continue to live a life that limits me creatively. Oh, okay. I have many other interests and passions and have been very smart with my finances over the years. I thank every WWE superstar from top to bottom for their sacrifices and for working with me. The world is an amazing place, and there is more than just a WWE universe. There is the universe, and I will prove one way or another over time I am the greatest big guy in the universe. Exclamation point.
I think I hate this motherfucker.
And this was issued on his Tumblr.
He has a Tumblr.
I'm not quite sure, but I think I might hate him now.
I'm pretty sure I do. I'm leaning towards hate. The stain doesn't quite fit what I feel right now.
I don't feel like going into all of it, but bottom line, you paid what you're worth.
Yeah. It's simple. It's wrestling.
That's how it is. Like, if you're any a jobber business. Because you failed to get over with the fans, it's not the WWE's fault. It's your fault.
For being a bum.
Don't blame him. He's dumb as fuck.
Seriously. Oh, have you seen the... Like, did anybody else get annoyed by the way he cut promos? Like, especially that one long one he did that was, like, going into his life and everything.
Yeah.
Like, he was even stiff with the way that he was saying words, let alone the way that he worked in the ring.
Ryback is certainly an interesting creature.
You gotta love how he's like, this isn't about money. Then it's like, it's about money.
It's totally about money.
He's like, this isn't about money.
This isn't about money, but let me tell you about why we should be paid equally.
It's about money, you dumb fuck.
Okay.
Oh, whatever.
What a fucking jackass.
Can we close the door on Ryback and never mention him again? It wouldn't be hard. So.
So Jesus. Basically, he just ensured his release, right?
Yep.
Basically.
Bye, Felicia.
Like, is he not gone yet? I'm surprised I haven't read breaking WWE has released Ryback.
No,
isn't his contract expiring or something?
Yeah, but
release his ass.
Here's some more Ryback information.
There's more coming.
They appear to be in a trademark battle. He appears to be in a trademark battle with WWE over the term "the big guy."
What a dumb fucker! I hate him. Oh, you can't be that dumb in life. How does he move?
He filed for the trademark on October of 29th. Of last year, and then WWE filed for it later.
They're both
stupid.
Oh,
then he should get it.
Yeah.
They're both stupid.
So, I mean, that should be his, right?
Basically. But how are you going to trademark such a common phrase?
Right?
I do wonder.
That doesn't make any sense.
Has there ever been footage of Ryback opening a door? Because I don't believe he does that. I think somebody has to have someone open a door for him. He's so fucking stupid. All right. Enough talking about a fucking loser that no one cares about. Who was the winner of the week, Manny?
Roman Reigns.
Why?
Why? Because he had a great showing at Payback. He won the title, and he won. I mean, he didn't win that match, but he had a great showing last night on Monday Night Raw. I mean, he's been overall fantastic. He's developed into the character that he needs to be, and he is solid going forward. He's a champion that I can believe now.
Agree. Dude,
who's your winner of the week? Because we already discussed that.
Emma.
So. Oh, Emma.
Emma. Emma. She beat Becky Lynch, and with that one win, she's already established herself as the second, second best. I don't know what you're saying.
She's established herself as being firmly in the division and not just a one-off now.
Yeah, she's firmly the second best heel in that. Well, the second. Best booked heel in that division. Because if you really look at it, everybody else is a fucking face for some reason.
That is very true. Oh my god, wait until Bayley gets there. It's going to be crazy.
She's a baby face.
No shit. Faces galore. Like, realistically, if we tried to do the heel face tag team match now, we'd have like 80 people on one side, and then Eva Marie,
Naomi.
who actually they brought back and said was a face. Remember?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Naomi.
So we got Naomi, Emma, and Charlotte on one side.
Tamina.
Just had surgery today.
Okay, never mind. Which means
I know. Probably shocking. Man, WWE is really losing their stars.
Dude. The stock just dropped. Tamina and Ryback, man, this is worse than when CM Punk left and Seth Rollins got injured, you know.
Jesus. Cesaro, Randy Orton.
Yeah, that long streak, yeah, it's just as bad. It's probably worse. Yeah.
She tore ligaments, apparently.
When?
I don't know. Last week.
How?
Why?
I don't know. I'm like looking through things, and like I keep up on this kind of stuff, but yeah, there's nothing about Tamina getting injured. That's how much people care about Tamina.
Yeah. Well, whatever. My winner of the week is Kevin Owens, and it's mostly for what happened at Payback. It kind of filtered into what happened on Raw, but I loved his match with Sami Zayn. It was the best match of the night, I believe. They just have great
chemistry. No argument here.
Great storytelling, great stuff, and it was only. That was a nice little bounce back from the horrible injury that took place on Enzo's part. So it was a nice comeback from that to get us the crowd back into the show and whatever. It was a nice move. And then Kevin Owens cutting a promo against Byron Saxton, which is hilarious as fuck. He's like, I didn't tell you to ask me that. Just good stuff. His commentary was perfection. Him taking jabs at Michael Cole and Byron Saxton throughout, and Sami Zayn and Miz Cesaro. He gave no fucks, and that's what's great about Kevin Owens. And I think right now he's finally, and he's just here. We got what Kevin Owens is. He's just having fun at this point. That's great to see. The IC title, him winning the IC title makes the IC title seem way more important.
The IC title has never appeared more important in this fucking millennium. Yeah, like, it's crazy.
And the way Kevin Owens, like, just some, I'm just talking about Kevin Owens in general. Like, we could take Miz and Cesaro and, like, same thing. But looking at Kevin Owens in general, the way he covets it, and, like, he talks about it, and, like, the way he gives, like, he has mannerisms towards it. I think that's what makes him, like, stand out and make that title a little bit more prestigious. Like, Kevin Owens is kind of doing it himself. And maybe the belt should have stayed on him at WrestleMania, and they should have moved on with it. Because Kevin Owens,
honestly, no, I think that the pursuit that Kevin Owens has in wanting to get that title back is what makes the title in such high prestige right now. Like the,
okay. And the I fact also that think just, that's incredibly more interesting.
Yeah, the fact that he just got out of this grueling match with Sami Zayn, and his immediate focus isn't the top tier title, it's the Intercontinental title, the title that he lost, that he feels like that he wants because he shouldn't have lost it in the first place. That's what places the high importance on the IC title right now.
And I do like how he'd frame things where, like, he's not that kind of heel who, like, no-sells people. Like, he kind of does but doesn't. Like, in the whole Miz Cesaro match commentary, he's like, man, I could beat either one of these guys. I mean, Sami Zayn could beat both these guys, and I just beat him. Like, just he knows how to frame a feud and make everything, every piece of it important and make sense and matter. And I just commend Kevin Owens. Like, he's a cut above the rest when it comes to, like, storytelling in this day and age, I think.
Yep. Absolutely. I 100% agree.
I don't think there's anybody in the company right now, like, wrestling right now, who gets the business more than Kevin Owens? He just gets it.
Nah. Yeah, that's true.
I would
true.
Definitely agree with that.
Absolutely. And that's everything about those two matches was absolutely perfect in my eyes. Like, everything about them.
Even taking Kevin Owens out of the commentary, the match was great with Miz and Cesaro, so. Yeah.
And the fact that Miz won was absolutely great, too.
I love the hockey fighting with Sami Zayn coming out. I love their when they hockey fight. I love it. It's, like, my favorite spot now, and just Sami Zayn coming out and beating the shit out of him. They interrupt the match.
And it came out of nowhere. It came so out of nowhere. Did you expect Sami Zayn to come out at that time?
No, I thought he was done for the night.
I thought he was so done. It just brought it back out. Like, bitch, this isn't over. And it's like,
watching this Cesaro Miz match. All of a sudden, Sami Zayn's fighting Kevin. I was like, what? What the fuck?
Because it had that realistic feel. Like, okay, just because Kevin Owens beat me in this match, I don't give a fuck. This shit ain't over. I'm going to go out and handle my business.
He flew to Kevin Owens, too, to fucking start hockey fight. With him.
And they just kind of bled into what Cesaro was trying to get done. He's like, what the fuck, guys? Get out of here.
This is about you.
Yeah, Cesaro played that really well because he really did look like, what the fuck are you guys doing?
Miz gets up and looks around like, oh shit, roll up, let's go. I'm out of here. Get me out of here, Maurice.
Then, like, Ben Maurice pulled him out, and, like, I love the final shot of the payback with the Intercontinental title and Kevin Owens and stuff. Him holding the belt and just, like, he took care of Sami Zayn again, took care of Cesaro. Him just holding that fucking belt and just, like, there's something special about Kevin Owens. I can't really put into words what it is, but there's something. He has the it factor. I think that's where I can say.
And it allows you, as dominant as he was that night, it allows you also to buy the fact that Sami Zayn would get the one up on him the next night because Kevin Owens had just come out of this really good match with Cesaro, where Sami Zayn was fresh at the time. The night before, everybody was tired from fucking matches, so. It's an interesting dynamic they got going on. I'm definitely very much. I think that's the number one thing that they got going on right now, isn't it? Well,
we could say a lot of shit about WWE's booking, but their booking of Kevin Owens since the Cena loss, and even before the Cena loss, he had kind of a dry spell after the Cena loss and towards the Ryback feud or whatever. But
there was a feud with Ryback.
Yeah, that's how I won the IC title the first time, and then he won it against
Christ.
Yeah, it was Night of Champions, I believe. But yeah, there was a dry spell around that area. But his booking is pretty impeccable, except for his, like, win-loss record. But he's a heel, so he's going to have to lose here and there. But
his character.
They booked him perfectly. They get him. They're letting him be. They get his character. He's, like, there's a good communication between the two. Like, him and the New Day are the two best booked things on the show. So.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. All right, that's pretty much it for us. Any final thoughts, guys?
Yeah, fuck Justin.
Fuck Duke.
The Miz is great.
And, oh, wait, before we do off air, me and Manny, and to an extent Duke, even though Duke was drunk last week, so he doesn't remember the show. We have to make an apology. We had a bad bootleg of Payback.
Man.
And we've made some mistakes in our judgments.
We got to go find a new bootlegger, man. That was crazy. I'm telling you,
Colin Scott Steiner's got the hookup, man.
I was not drunk.
You were drunk last show. Yeah, you were.
We are not going with the idea that you were not drunk. Fuck that. You were definitely
not drunk.
Okay, you were inebriated. God damn it.
You're inebriated. Nope.
Nope.
Swerve.
Not even that.
Swerve.
But anyway, yeah, we got to get a better bootlegger.
Yeah, for Extreme Rules or whatever we do it next. But yeah, we're sorry. But you know what? If you really took our thoughts on that seriously, go fuck yourself. And that's it for PWTR today.
Wow.
It's hashtag PWTR to tweet Duke and send him nudes. And yeah, Duke loves the fans. Duke loves me as moderator. Duke loves Manny. Duke's just a very loving guy, and so am I. So we're done here. Good night.
Hashtag PWTR. Tweet us at PWTR.
Said that.
At PWTR Justin. Catch you guys next Saturday. What are we doing next Saturday? What's next Saturday? When is Extreme Rules?
Not next week, but the week after. So.
God damn.
I heard that Last Mark Standing might be making a return.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, we have to figure out who to be fighting because Manny needs to take a break from his championship win. Enjoy the fruits of being.
Oh champion. Yeah, I gotta sit back on my throne, eating grapes, holding my championship belt.
Until SummerSlam, or a guy wins Money in the Bank, he can cash it in then and there. So we'll see. Things are coming. Things are in motion. So that is it for us here. Goodbye.
Peace.